This message was recorded at the Redeemed Christian Church of God Salvation Center, where we're maximizing potential and fulfilling destiny. We pray you'll be blessed as you listen to the following message.
Just bless his name, bless him, bless him. Oh, Father, we thank you. Thank you for waking us up this morning. We don't take it for granted, oh God. Thank you for preservation, for the miracle of going out and coming back. Oh, we bless you. Oh, sweet Holy Spirit, my friend, my comforter. What can we do without you, Holy Spirit? Oh, hallelujah, Sinekin. So much for this opportunity to be a blessing. I want to thank you. I want to thank the ministers. I want to thank the hospitality team. I want to thank the choir, everybody. Amen. You all are wonderful people. Amen. I'll continue to pray that this church will be a center, a citadel for revival. Amen. It will be heard. That in San Antonio, something has broken out. In the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Amen. Let's open our Bibles quickly to Luke chapter 11. From verse 9 to 13. Luke chapter 11, verse 9 to 13. So I say to you, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks, receives. And he who seeks finds. And to him who knocks, it will be open. If a son asks for bread from any father among you, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent instead of a fish? Or if he asks for an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If you then, being evil, that is, as a father, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit, everybody say the Holy Spirit, to those who ask of him? Father, we have come to ask of the Holy Spirit. Let there be a release today. In Jesus' name, Amen. He says in verse 9 that we should ask. To ask means to make a request. It means to pray, to ask. There are three steps in prayer: the asking phase, the stage, the seeking stage, and the knocking stage. So we start by asking. So let's say I come to Pastor Ayo's office and I say, where is Pastor Ayo? Pastor Ayo is the bank manager. Where is he? That's a question I'm asking. Then I'm told that he's on the third floor. Then I have to go to the third floor. I then begin to seek for your office. So I come to your office. I say, where is Pastor Ayo? They say he's on the third floor. When I go to the third floor, I have to seek for your room, where you are. That is the seeking phase. Then they say that is his office there. I have to knock. That's a knocking stage for the door to open. So many ask and seek, but they don't knock. You see, your blessings are behind the door. You have to knock. Amen. You don't stop at asking or seeking. You see, God loves for us to seek him. He loves to play hide and seek. He's everywhere. But he hides to see how much you're thirsty. How much you're thirsty for him. You're hungry for him. He's everywhere. But he loves to play hide and seek. Hallelujah. He said, if you seek him with all your heart, you will find him. We shall find him in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. So in verse 10, he says, for everyone who asks receives. Everyone who is asking, you came with a prayer point, you received today in Jesus' name. And he who seeks will find. Hallelujah. And to him who knocks, it will be open. I decree that doors will be open to you in the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Amen. Verse 11, he says, if a son asks for bread from any father among you, will he give him a stone? So what he's saying in essence, if our earthly fathers who are prone to doing evil know how to give good gifts, because your father will not give you a stone for bread, or he will not give you a serpent for fish, even though our earthly fathers are prone to being evil. You see, how much more our Heavenly Father, in verse 13, who is a good God? Every good and perfect gift comes from above. Hallelujah. He says, how much more will your Heavenly Father, who is a good Father, who is a good God, give the Holy, notice he said give the Holy, he didn't say give bread, he didn't say give fish or egg. Give the Holy Spirit. It was a give the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. So you may ask your earthly fathers for bread, for fish, or for egg. But when it comes to our spiritual Father, the Heavenly Father, he doesn't want us to ask for those things. He wants us to ask for the Holy Spirit. Because when you have the Holy Spirit, you have everything. The Holy Spirit is the conveyor of the blessings. Can somebody say amen? He says he will give to those who ask. You see, many times we come to church, we ask for bread, we ask for fish, we ask for egg, but we don't ask for the Holy Spirit. The Heavenly Father waits for us to ask for the Holy Spirit, because without the Holy Spirit, you cannot do anything. Hallelujah. In John chapter 7, verse 37 to 39, John 7, 37 to 39. At the last day of the feast. Today is the last day of this meeting. On the last day. Great things always happen on the last day. The third day. That great day. The last day was the great day. Today is the great day. Somebody shout hallelujah. Hallelujah. Jesus stood and cried, saying, if anyone thirsts. This was a week long religious meeting. A week-long religious meeting. You know, it was ceremonial. It was ritualistic. But something was lacking in that meeting. And Jesus stood up and cried, "If anyone thirsts, let him come and drink." If anyone, this was an invitation only for those who thirst. They had packed their bag and baggage. They were about to go home on the last day. They came, but there was no drinking. He said, if anyone thirsts, hallelujah, and God is looking for those who are thirsty. He says, let him come to me and drink. God wants you to drink of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Amen. Let's see verse 38. He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart or belly will flow rivers of living water. God wants you to be so filled to overflow that the Holy Spirit will begin to flow out of your belly. Hallelujah. Let's see verse 39. It says, but this he spoke concerning the Holy Spirit, whom those believing in him will receive, for the Holy Spirit was not yet given because Jesus was not yet glorified. In Isaiah 55, verse 1, the New Living Translation. Hallelujah. The Holy Spirit flows like a river. He says, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. Come to the waters. Come and drink. Hallelujah. God is saying, for those who are thirsty, let them come. It's an open invitation. Amen. God wants to fill us up. You will not leave here empty in the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. The Holy Spirit, the Heavenly Father wants us to ask for the Holy Spirit. He's the third person of the Godhead. He's the power of the Godhead. He is the power of the kingdom of God. He comes with fire and he comes with power. He's the yoke destroyer. He's the burden remover. God expects us to seek his kingdom first so as to obtain the power of his kingdom, which is the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is a person. The Holy Spirit is not a thing. He is a person. Hallelujah. He has a personality. He has feelings. That is why the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 30, that we should not grieve the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit is not just power. People want power, but they don't want to know the person of the Holy Spirit. You have to know him first before you receive his power. That is why Apostle Paul said in Philippians chapter 3, verse, he said, that I may know him. Know him, then the power of his resurrection. Many want power, but they don't want to be intimate with him. He's a person. You want power, first you have to know him. Hallelujah. Can somebody say amen? He's also a teacher. He will teach you all things. 1 John chapter 2, verse 20 and 27, the New Living Translation. He will teach you all things. He says, but you are not like that, for the Holy One has given you his spirit, and all of you know the truth. Let's see verse 27. Verse 27. Verse 27. He says, but you have received the Holy Spirit, and he lives within you. So you don't need anyone to teach you what is true. For the Spirit teaches you everything you need to know. And what he teaches is true. It is not a lie. So just as he has taught you, remain in fellowship with Christ. You see, the Holy Spirit is my teacher. Many things. He teaches me many things. Many things I did not hear from anybody else. The Holy Spirit speaks to me expressly. At times I will say, Holy Spirit, give me a joke for the message. And he will give me a joke. I'll begin to laugh. He's a teacher. We have a teacher on the inside. Hallelujah. When he's teaching you, you don't have to fear false prophets, because he will tell you this one is fake. But many people don't relate with him. Hallelujah. John chapter 14, verse 25 to 26, the Amplified Version. John 14, 25 to 26, the Amplified Version. I'm telling you these things. Now, while I'm still with you, the Amplified Version. You have the Amplified Version? Okay. I've told you these things while I'm still with you. Yes. 26. But the helper, the Holy Spirit, the comforter. The Holy Spirit is the comforter. He comforts you. When you're grieving, he comforts, he's your advocate, he's your attorney, he's your intercessor, he helps you to pray. Hallelujah. He's your counselor. He counsels you when you need counsel. He gives you strength. He's your standby. He's always waiting for you to engage him. Many times we seek help on the outside, but the Holy Spirit is always there, always on standby. The Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, in my place, to represent me. He represents Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit represents Jesus Christ, and he will act on my behalf. He will teach you all things, and he will help you to remember everything I've told you. Many times when I forget things, I say, Holy Spirit, remind me. So he is a reminder of things. Hallelujah. He comes with power and with fire. He comes to purify us with his fire and to judge our enemies by fire. Hallelujah. He is the revealer. He unveils things that are there that you cannot see. He is the revealer. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9 to 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9 to 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9 to 10. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9 to 10. But just as it is written in Scripture, things which the eye has not seen and the ear has not heard. You see, there are things that your eyes, your carnal eyes cannot see, or your carnal ears hear. It says, which have not entered the heart of man, all that God has prepared. You cannot see with your carnal eyes what God has prepared. Many are depressed. They say God is not answering their prayers because they've not seen that what they are looking for is right there. You ask the Holy Spirit to unveil. He is the revealer. Eyes have not seen. Things that God has prepared for you. Hallelujah. They are already prepared, but you have to ask God to open your eyes so that you see with eyes of spirit. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 17 to 18. Ephesians 1, verse 17 to 18, the New Living Translation. He says, I will always pray. The late Kenneth Hagin always prayed this scripture every day, asking God, the glorious Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, to give you spiritual wisdom. He is the spirit of wisdom and insight so that you might grow in your knowledge of God. Hallelujah. Amen. Pray that your hearts will be flooded with light so that you can understand the confident hope he has given to those he has called, his holy people, who are his rich and glorious inheritance. You see, he wants to reveal. The late Kenneth Hagin will say, there is a knowing that comes through the showing. There is a knowing. Those of you who have taught in the past, you see, when you teach and you show people, you show your students, they retain it. Hallelujah. The Holy Spirit is the revealer. He helps us to pray the mind of God. He helps us to pray the will of God. Many people pray amiss. Many people pray amiss. You may think that what you need now is a house or a car, but your most immediate need will be to pray for your family members that the enemy has set up for an accident. So when you pray in the spirit, you're canceling that. So don't pray with your carnal mind. Hallelujah. So engage the Holy Spirit to pray the mind of God. Many things you're praying for may not be according to the will of God. Amen. But the Holy Spirit has the mind and knows the will of God. So it is always best to speak in tongues. Amen. To allow the Holy Spirit pray. I could be praying in tongues for a pastor in Brazil who is about to die. I don't know him, but the Holy Spirit will borrow my mouth. Hallelujah. And I'll begin to pray. So it is always good to pray more in the Spirit. Hallelujah. He helps our infirmities. Romans chapter 8, verse 26 to 27. When we are weak, many times you're weak, you cannot pray. The Holy Spirit begins to groan with words that cannot be uttered. The Holy Spirit helps us in our weaknesses. For example, we don't know what God wants us to pray for, but the Holy Spirit prays for us with groanings that cannot be expressed in words. Hallelujah. Even while you're sleeping, the Holy Spirit is groaning. And the Father, who knows all hearts, knows what the Spirit is saying. Hallelujah. Even when you cannot communicate it, articulate it in words, the Father knows what the Holy Spirit is saying. For the Spirit pleads for us, believers, in harmony with God's own will. Can somebody say amen? The Holy Spirit, he adopted us as God's children by joining his spirit with our spirit. Hallelujah. The spirit of adoption. The spirit of adoption. And this spirit, the Holy Spirit, is always crying, Abba, Father. So even when you're sleeping, the Holy Spirit will say, Daddy. Hallelujah. The Holy Spirit, amen, bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. Can somebody say amen? The Holy Spirit convicts us of sin. He's a convictor. It is the Holy Spirit that convicted me. You know what it means to be a convict? When you're a convict, it means you're guilty. If the Holy Spirit did not convict me, I'll continue in sin. I'll continue to live the type of life I was living, fornication. You know, just living like a devil. The Holy Spirit had to convict me. And that is what brought repentance. Without the Holy Spirit convicting you, you'll be preaching and singing without repentance. And try to justify your sin. It is the Holy Spirit. That is why we need the Holy Spirit. The move of the Holy Spirit. The move. When the Holy Spirit is moving, people will come to the altar. You don't have to give an altar call. They'll be convicted. Hallelujah. And say, I'm guilty. And cry for repentance. He convicts us of sin. John, let's see. He convicts us of sin, of righteousness. I think John 15:8, and of judgment. The Holy Spirit will convict you of sin, of righteousness. Hallelujah. Amen. Is it John 15:18 or 8? He'll convict you of sin, of righteousness, that your righteousness is filthy rags before God, and of judgment. Hallelujah. So he convicts, he mortifies. The duty of the Holy Spirit is to mortify my flesh, to kill this flesh. There's nothing good about this flesh. This flesh that people spend 3 hours trying to apply makeup and mascara, like Bob Risky's, you spend so much time, you know. People go for liposuction, breast implants, all the implants. There's nothing good. The Holy Spirit wants to kill this flesh so that there will be a full expression of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Because this flesh wars against, it's in conflict. It fights the Spirit. So the Holy Spirit kills, hallelujah, our flesh. Can somebody say amen? The Holy Spirit is the lifter. Amen. He is the one who resurrects. Amen. That same power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead is inside of you. Raised him from the dead. Seated him in heavenly places. Far above. Everybody say far above. He wants to lift you up. He wants to raise you up. He wants to revive you. Hallelujah. He wants to lift you up. Far above principalities and powers. So you'll be seated in heavenly places. You'll be seated. You become a principality of light. You see, when you rise in rank, when the Holy Spirit lifts, it's all about ranking. When you rise in rank, you are seated. You become a principality of light. You can dislodge and dethrone principalities and powers. You see, there are powers in heavenly places that control human activity on earth. These powers, these principalities and powers, they are the ones that are responsible for crime, for fornication, for ungodliness. For you to take a territory, you must deal with these powers in heavenly places. You have to rise and take your seat as a principality of light to dethrone and to dislodge these powers. Then you take territories for Jesus Christ. Can somebody say amen to that? Hallelujah. So he comes to lift us up, to raise us up. Hallelujah. Amen. So God wants us to pray kingdom prayers. He said we should not pray. He said, look, don't pray for things. Don't pray for bread, for fish. This is how the heathen pray. This is how witches and wizards pray. This is how Yahoo boys pray. Don't pray like them. He said, for our Father knows what you have need of. He says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. And every other thing shall be added. Hallelujah. So stop praying for material things. This is how unbelievers pray. Hallelujah. Amen. He says, pray according to the will of God. Amen. Pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth. Pray down the kingdom of God. Matthew chapter 6, verse 9 to 10. He says, when you're praying, pray the government of God. Pray the regime of God down. Hallelujah. Stop praying for material things. When you go to the American embassy in Nigeria, amen, when you enter there, you are in America. Everything is there. You don't have to pray for light. Right? Uh-huh. So God wants us to pray heaven down. So I will begin to experience heaven on earth. He wants us to pray down the kingdom of God. Let us enthrone Jesus. Pray him down. So that you get used to heaven while on earth. So that when you depart from this earth and go to heaven, you not need much orientation. Because you've experienced heaven here. Hallelujah. So God says our duty as intercessors, pray down the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. That his will be done, not your will. Amen. So it will be on earth as it is in heaven. In heaven, there are no prostitutes. Amen. When you pray down the kingdom of God, prostitutes will now begin to repent. Because what is happening in heaven will begin to happen on earth. Hallelujah. Amen. Am I talking to somebody here? Pray down the kingdom of God. Amen. Pray down the kingdom of God. Then it will be on earth as it is in heaven. Hallelujah. Which is kingdom comes power. Everybody say power. Power. For thy is the kingdom, the power and the glory. The Greek word for power. One of the great Greek words for power is dunamis. Everybody say dunamis. Dunamis comes from the word dynamite. Hallelujah. Explosive. The explosive power of the Holy Spirit. This power is able to destroy yokes, to break chains. Hallelujah. Then we have exousia. Everybody say exousia. Exousia means authority. You can have power and not have authority. I can carry a gun. The gun is symbolic of power. But I need authority or license to use the gun, right? Hallelujah. Amen. So it is okay to have power. But what we need most is authority. Amen. When I have a badge as a cop, a female officer who is fragile and weak can arrest a muscular man because she has a badge. She has authority. Authority means delegated power. She has the backing of the government. She can arrest you even with your gun. Hallelujah. Amen. So the authority is what we need. To cast out devils, you need authority. To arrest demons, you need authority. You don't need power alone because Satan has power. The Bible says that the devil is the anointed cherub. But what we have that he doesn't have is authority. Hallelujah. So you need not only power, but you need what? Exousia power. That's authority to cast out devils. Hallelujah. Exousia power also means jurisdiction. Jurisdiction. You see, I'm licensed to practice medicine in Maryland, Virginia, and D.C. I cannot practice in Texas because I don't have license to practice in Texas. Hallelujah. Amen. I don't have license. I don't have authority. You see, the more authority I have, the more jurisdiction I have. The Redeemed Christian Church of God is in more than 190 nations because Pastor E.R.W. has authority. He has license. He has license to plant churches everywhere. And these demons, they answer only to authority. Hallelujah. That's why the sons of Sceva, when they try to cast out demons, they say, Paul, I know. Jesus, I know. Who are you, Ray? Huh? They say, why? He said, you have no authority. You cannot arrest me. You have no authority. It's about authority. It's about rankings. They recognize rankings, demons, more than believers. You see people talking to their pastors anyhow. They don't understand. But demons understand. That's why when you walk into a place and you have authority, they recognize it. Demons begin to cry out. They say, leave us alone. It is ranking. May you grow in authority in the name of Jesus Christ. You not only have power, but you have exhausted your power. Power, authority. See Matthew chapter 10, verse 1, the Amplified Version. Authority. When you rise in rank, cancer becomes your subject. Cancer is no longer your classmate. Some people have cancer and they've survived because cancer now becomes their subject. Witches and wizards, when they see you, they know. They know who is who. Jesus summoned his 12 disciples and gave them authority and power over. Everybody say over. You see, authority over. You see, in the military, everybody can carry a gun, but the one with authority can arrest those who have guns. It's over. Authority over sicknesses. So when you're praying for somebody sick, you say, I take authority over that sickness. I bind that spirit behind it to cast them out. You see, many cannot cast demons out because they don't have authority over them. But to walk in authority, you have to be under authority. You see, you cannot walk in authority when you don't submit to your pastor. You don't submit to your parents. Submission. Demons know those who don't submit. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. So we must continually ask for the Holy Spirit. To be drunk. To be drunk in the Holy. You know, God doesn't want us to be tipsy. He wants us to be drunk. Many believers, your tank is empty. You see, when you're drunk, he now leads you. It is what you're drunk of that will lead you. Hallelujah. He cannot lead you when you're empty. He wants you drunk. The church must be a Holy Ghost bar where you come and drink to you drink to stupor. Hallelujah. Amen. You're under the influence. You see, when in the world we have bars everywhere. Satan wants people to be under the influence of alcohol so he can control them. The Holy Spirit cannot control you if you're not drunk. So when you're filled with liquor and crack cocaine, then Satan can control you. So he says we should not be drunk with wine, but we should be drunk with the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Some will begin to sing songs. If you read the scripture, some will sing songs. When I was in college, palm wine drinkers, how many of you know the palm wine drinkers? You see them, they're always gyrating, always singing, always happy. Even when they're failing, they're singing. You see, when you're drunk, there's no room for depression. Hallelujah. You see, and one thing about alcohol, when you go to the bar, alcoholics, they are very generous people. You're miserly because you're not feel. An alcoholic, you say, look, everybody here has scholarship. Those days, say, scholarship for everybody. Madam, open bottle for everybody. Huh? They will not pay your rent, but hallelujah. Hallelujah. And you see, when you go to the bar, there's no racism. Once you're an alcoholic, I remember my friend those days. When we go to parties, these guys, I say, you know, he would just go for any girl. I say, oh boy, look at these beautiful girls. Why are you going for these ones? He said, Dave, you don't understand. He said, when you're under the influence, every girl looks alike. Hallelujah. The reason why people, they see your color. When you're drunk, you will not see everybody's equal. Hallelujah. So get drunk. Look at everybody, say get drunk.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Get drunk in the Holy Spirit. Amen. Hallelujah. Get drunk in the Holy Spirit. Pastor Olukoya of Mountain of Fire. I was listening to one of his testimonies. He said in one of his early crusades, a lady, he said, those who want the fruit of the womb should go here. Those who want the Holy Spirit to stand here. So this lady was believing God for a child. And she went to the line for those who need the fruit of the womb. But the Holy Spirit told him to tell her to go to where those who want to be baptized with the Holy Spirit. She was reluctant, but she went. And she got filled with the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. And the next month, she took him. You see, the Holy Spirit will overshadow you. And what is impossible will become possible. The shadow, he wants to overshadow your life. Hallelujah. Amen. He wants to overshadow your life. When he overshadows your life, even though you walk through the shadow of the valley of death, because death has a shadow, he overshadows the shadow of death. Barrenness has a shadow. Cancer has a shadow. The Holy Spirit comes to overshadow so that impossibilities will become possible in the name of Jesus. The Holy Spirit is a quickener. He comes to quicken. He comes to activate. He comes to revive. Rise to your feet.
hope you've been blessed by this message. We encourage you to fellowship with us here at Salvation Center if you are in the San Antonio area. For more information, visit our website at www.rccgsanantonio.org.